You know, you meet different people, and you find that different people, their minds seem to work different ways. I know there are some people who are very skilled at mathematical equations. That's not me. There are other people who can't seem to remember anything, while there are some people who can remember just about everything except where they left their car keys. And so people's minds just seem to work different ways. Well, this morning I want to ask the question of a spiritual nature of what mind are you? And I think when it comes to our spiritual life, we choose what mind we are or what kind of mind we have. And the passage that was read for us a few moments ago in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." And so we ought to set our minds. Now he tells them that. It's in the imperative. It's a command. So we can do this. We choose to do this. We ought to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. And so this morning we want to think about this question of what mind are you? And I want to suggest to you as we think about this, some different minds. For example, in the first place, there is the worldly mind. Now sometimes we use the phrase worldly mindedness. He's got a worldly mind. Sometimes we use the phrase spiritual mindedness. He's got a spiritual mind. And you and I both know what we mean by those terms. Well, there is such a thing as a worldly mind. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." And so there are people who have wicked works, there are people who have wicked minds, there are people who have made God enemies in their minds. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul writing there as well in a passage that I think is very distorted by our Calvinist friends. But Paul says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." By nature, children of wrath. Not that we were born children of wrath. The Bible does not teach that. In the Greek, the word there for nature simply indicates the environment. And so when these people were children of wrath, that is, they lived in such a way that would incur the wrath of God, when they were living like that, it wasn't because it was their inborn nature and they couldn't help it, but it was because they were following their environment. Well, they were just doing what everybody else around them did. They were just living like the world and directing their lives according to the world. That's the way Paul said these folks were before they became children of God. Over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds," notice that phrase, "set their minds on the things of the flesh." And so they set their own minds on those things. Not that they were born that way and they had to live that way. They chose to set their minds upon the flesh, and there are people who do that. They choose to set their minds on the world. And then he goes on to say, "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And the word mind here comes from the Greek phroneo. It means to exercise the mind, to set the affection on, to try to be like, to try to be of the same. It's all our personal choice. And there are people who set their minds on worldly things. And the sad thing is, often there are people who are supposed to be Christians. They're supposed to set their mind on spiritual things, but they don't, at least not as they should. And they have their minds still set on the world. There are great warnings of this in the Bible. For example, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, the Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The things in the world. The Apostle Paul, or Apostle John, seems to be dealing here primarily with those things which would be sinful. Some of them. There are some things that are inherently sinful that are in the world. Whether it be fornication or adultery, maybe it's lying, maybe it's stealing, cheating, and the list goes on. Those things are inherently sinful. But then there are things in the world which are really spiritually neutral. They're not sinful in and of themselves, but sometimes they become distractions. And sometimes we set our minds upon them, that is, we pursue them with such great zeal that we allow those things to come between us and our service to God. And those things take up more of our time than does assembly or reading the Bible or praying. And when this happens, we could be categorized as worldly minded because we've set our mind on things of the world rather than on things of God. So how do you fix a worldly mind? You know, sometimes it's not all that easy to do. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who commits sin," or whoever commits sin, "is a slave of sin." And so Jesus speaks of the enslaving nature of sin. A few years ago I watched the movie, and then a couple of nights ago I watched it again. It'd been a while, a movie called Fireproof. And in the movie, this young man is going through the process of trying to reestablish a proper relationship with his wife and to save their marriage. And as he goes through it, in the beginning he's real proud and he thinks everything's her fault. He's not doing anything wrong. It's her fault. She don't show me the respect I deserve. But then as he goes through this process, he begins to see all the things that he has been doing wrong. And one of the problems that he had, and is depicted there in one of the scenes of the movie, was with internet pornography. And he's trying to correct that problem. And he's sitting at his internet, and he's looking at pictures of boats that he's been saving up all his money to buy him a boat. And then this pop-up comes up on the screen of a woman, and then, "Want to see more? Click here." And he moves the mouse over, and he stops, and he looks at it. And then he gets up and he walks away and he walks around the room and he walks over the fireplace and he beats against the wall and he says, "Why is this so hard?" It is hard. Once you have your mind set on that and your mind is trained that way and your mind has this all this repetitiveness in the past of committing this sin over and over again, it becomes very difficult to untrain and then retrain that mind. And so that ought to serve as a warning right there. But it's certainly not impossible to do. In writing to Romans, the church at Rome, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul penned some words that are very familiar to all of us today. He says in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," watch this, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so if we have the wrong mindset, we can renew that mind. And there are some practical ways this is done. For example, just by reading and studying the Word of God, we can renew our mind. You ever hear the phrase, "trash in, trash out"? You are what you eat. Well, spiritually speaking, that's so as well. You are what you eat spiritually. And if we're always entering into our mind the trash and the filth of the world, that's what we are. That's what we become. But if we begin to allow the Word of God to come in our mind through reading it and studying it diligently every day, we can transform that. Now, Facebook is one of those things that is not inherently good or inherently evil. It's just spiritually neutral. I have a Facebook page myself. But I also recognize that there are those who have become what we might say addicted to Facebook. And sometimes some people on my friends list will make a comment that would speak to this addiction. And I had a friend the other day write something on there about how she can't get away from the Facebook. She keeps coming back and she goes away and does some things and it keeps calling her name. And I typed in there, I said, take your Bible and lay it out on top of your keyboard. Just right on top of the keyboard. And so every time you feel the urge and you run to look at Facebook, you look down, there's your Bible. Read your Bible for 5 or 10 minutes instead. And I believe that can help us. Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of souls and spirit, of joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of men. Romans 1:16, Paul talks about the power of the gospel. It's power to save men. It has power to transform men. It has the power to renew our mind, as Paul said here. Prayer is another way we can renew our mind. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Quit living your life with a sleepy prayer before bed and that's it. Or maybe a mumbled prayer before a meal every now and then. Start praying without ceasing. Pray all the time. Really, be diligent about your prayer life and your mindset will begin to change. Occupy your time with good works. You know, in Titus 2:14, we're told that Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Get busy doing good works and serving the Lord. And you can change your mindset. Of what mind are you? We find that there is the worldly mind. Number two, we find not only the worldly mind, but there's a willing mind. As David is speaking to his son Solomon, he said in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. I want to suggest to you that we need to serve the Lord and we need to learn to serve the Lord with a willing mind. For example, when it comes to giving, when that plate is passed around, how willing are we in our giving? You know, back in the Old Testament, Exodus 25 verse 2, and taking up things needed for the tabernacle, it says, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And so God has always wanted us to give willingly. Paul refers to some churches as an example of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have or what he does not have. And so if we have a willing mind, our giving will get better. We need to be willing to give unto the Lord. Some people give grudgingly. They put that money in the plate, they're thinking about the other things they could be doing with that money. We ought to give with a willing mind. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Well, I have to do it. God commands it. For God loves a cheerful giver. I want to give. I know that I'm giving this money to the greatest institution in the world. I'm giving it to the Lord's church, the God-given institution that is there to do the work of the Lord, to preach the gospel to the lost and to build up those who are saints. That's what I'm giving it for, and that's what I care the most about. That's the kind of mind we ought to develop, because the work of the church is to save souls. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, the gospel sounded forth from that church and set a good example for others. Luke 19:10, Jesus Himself said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That ought to be our mind frame. And that is the work of the church. The work of the church is also to build up and to edify the body of Christ. Well, that takes money, doesn't it? It takes finances. You have to have a place to assemble. You have to purchase teaching materials and do other things. The same thing is true with sounding forth the gospel. God knew that it takes money to do that. And so He commanded that we lay by in store upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In Ephesians 4:11, the Lord Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up as the body of Christ. That's the work of the church, and that takes money to seek and to save that which is lost. How about attending? Do we attend services with a willing mind? Or is it, well, we have to go to church this morning? Sure love to sleep in, but I've got to go to church. Beautiful morning, love to play golf or fish, but I have to go to church because God said so. Need to change our mindset. Hebrews 10:25 is a commandment, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. And so, yes, we are commanded to go, but we ought to have the right mindset, which is reflected, I think, in Matthew 6:33, when Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Sometimes I find myself arguing with people about Sunday evening or Wednesday evening services or even the Bible class on Sunday morning. Well, we don't have to go as long as we don't forsake that assembly. And I've heard arguments on both sides, but one thing I know, that when you find a child of God who is arguing, trying to argue their way out of having to go down and assemble with the saints, somebody needs a change of mind. They need a mindset. The same is true, as we said, with seeking the lost. We too ought to want to seek and to save that which is lost. And we ought to have a willing mind when doing it. And so when we talk about the different minds, there's the worldly mind. We don't want that. There's the willing mind. We should develop that. And then finally, there is the working mind. Ever hear somebody say, "He's got a mind to work"? That's a great compliment. We ought to have a mind to work. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, we read about those people who were facing great obstacles in trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They had enemies all around them, and those enemies were active in trying to keep them from building the wall. In verse 6 it says, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." See that? They had a mind to work. Even in the midst of all the opposition, you go down to verse 15 and just begin reading. "And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, those who built the wall, and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other held a weapon. And yet in 52 days they built that wall." You know, as we go about doing the work of the Lord, we need to have a mind to work while we can. John 9:4, the Lord said, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." And you'd think for many the night's already come. But it's still day. We're still here, and we ought to have a mind to work, to build up the church of Christ. Is there opposition? Oh, yes. Are there enemies to the church? Absolutely. But we must have a mind to work. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that none of yourselves, it is the gift of God, none of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And so we are created for good works, which God, He goes on to say, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. People complaining about having to do this and having to do that. It's the work of the Lord. Compare it with working hard at other things in life. people on the job out in the secular world that are the greatest workers in the world. That's great. We ought to all strive for that. But then when it comes to work in the church, you can't hardly get them to lift a finger. As Jesus would say, you ought to do the one without leaving the other undone. There's much to do, there's work on every hand, one song says. To the work, to the work, is a song we just sang a few moments ago. There's a lot of work that we must do. Even in the midst of all the great challenges that we face in trying to do that work, we are to be a worker, not a shirker. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Of what mind are you? Do you have a worldly mind? You can change that. It's challenging and can be difficult. Start reading your Bible more. Start praying more. Start repenting more. And you can renew your mind. Maybe you have a willing mind. That's great if you do. If not, work on that. Develop that. Maybe you have a mind to work. That's wonderful. Improve upon that. Or maybe in the kingdom you're lazy and you need to develop a working mind. That can be done too. Of what mind are you? Let's pray.